Greetings in Christ. I'm Pastor Roger Mullett. It's a joy to be with you today. The New Testament reading is from Acts chapter 18. We'll hear verses 1 through 11 and then move down to verses 24 through 28. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. And he went to see them. And because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for they were tent makers by trade. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and tried to persuade Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy arrived from Macedonia, Paul was occupied with the word, testifying to the Jews that the Christ was Jesus. And when they opposed and reviled him, he shook out his garments and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am innocent. From now on I will go to the Gentiles." And he left there and went to the house of a man called Titius Justus, a worshipper of God. His house was next door to the synagogue. Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord, together with his entire household. And many of the Corinthians, hearing Paul, believed and were baptized. And the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, "Do not be afraid, but go on speaking, and do not be silent, for I am with you. And no one will attack you to harm you, for I have many in this city who are my people." And he stayed a year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. After spending some time there, he departed and went from one place to the next through the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. Now a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, competent in the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord. And being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he wished to cross to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. When he arrived, he greatly helped those who, through grace, had believed, for he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, showing by the scriptures that the Christ was Jesus. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets. But now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. There are so many things before us in our reading from Acts chapter 18 to consider. But one that jumps out to me as we meditate on this passage together is just how many names of people and places there are just in this handful of verses. We have Paul leaving Athens and going to Corinth. We have a Jew named Aquila and his wife Priscilla, and they live in Pontus, and they've come from Italy, and Claudius is there, and Claudius has commanded all the Jews to leave Rome, and that's just the first two verses of what we've heard. We have Silas and Timothy coming from Macedonia. We have Titius Justus. We have Crispus. We have the Corinthians mentioned. Later, when we've moved on to that second portion of chapter 18, we have Apollos, a native of Alexandria, and he's come to Ephesus. We hear about Priscilla and Aquila again, and he, Apollos, ends up going across to Achaia, and he's welcomed there and refutes publicly and powerfully the teachings of the Jews by showing that the Christ was Jesus. When we hear all these names of people and of places, they're a great help to us as we read the New Testament because they help us situate those things in their right time and place. We are so far removed culturally, temporally, geographically from the events of the New Testament that details like this, well, they help us put the events of the New Testament on the map. They help us get a better understanding of how far apart these places are and how long it might have taken Paul or Timothy or Silas or Apollos to move from one place to another. We get a sense of how things are related. We know that Titius Justus lived right next door to the synagogue, and so his witness of the word would have been powerful. He wouldn't have had to go very far at all. One of the dangers, however, of hearing so many names and places of names, well, it can be an obstacle to good understanding of the scriptures, at least until we've done our homework and figured out who's who and what's where. One of the dangers of hearing so many names is that it can make us feel left out, that we are little Christian congregation here or there, our family in this little place or that little place, we're not Paul. We're not Silas. We're not Timothy. We're not Apollos. We don't powerfully refute the Jews in public. We don't go and speak boldly in the synagogues of Athens. But what is most remarkable, dear friends, about the inclusion of all of these names of people and of places is precisely that we are among these names of peoples and places. They're not our names. We are so far removed. This happened so long ago and so far away. And yet, what a text like this shows us by naming so many people, Apollos and Silas and Timothy and Paul, is it invites us, dear friends, to find ourselves among them, to recognize that from the very beginning, from the first days of the New Testament church, God used ordinary people in their time and place. We feel so distant from the events of the scriptures sometimes because we don't live there and we don't speak that language and we don't know those people. But dear friends, that is exactly the point. You live in your place with your family and your people, and you are called upon according to your vocations, just as these men and women of the early church were called upon to show by the scriptures that the Christ is Jesus. In just a moment, as we conclude our time together with prayer, we'll hear another name, Mary Magdalene, a woman who had been forgiven by Christ himself and who was called in the Gospels to be one of the first witnesses of the resurrection of our Lord. Another person in a time and in a place, another normal, regular person in need of repentance and forgiveness just like us, and yet called out of the world by God to saving faith, to receive the forgiveness of sins, and to bear witness to the world that the Christ is Jesus. What a great joy it is, dear Christian friends, that our names are listed alongside these names in the Lamb's Book of Life, to know that God works through us in our times and places, just as he worked through all those faithful who have gone before us. Thanks be to God indeed. Let us pray. Almighty God, your Son, Jesus Christ, restored Mary Magdalene to health and called her to be the first witness of his resurrection. Heal us from all our infirmities, and call us to know you in the power of your Son's unending life. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. Amen.